Hey y'all, this is Luke. In today's episode, we're talking culture. Avalanche culture, that is. We talked to several avalanchers and got their perspective on ways we recognize each other, our charity initiatives, our parties, our health initiatives, yoga with Mary, my beautiful and smart wife, lunch and learns, the 2020 Launch People program, and, well, more. Hope you'd enjoy today's episode.
All right, we are on with Jason Colon, one of the partners and the chief strategy officer at Avalanche Media. So today we're going to talk a little bit about a unique part of Avalanche, which is called the Blue Yeti. Can you talk to us a little bit more about what the Blue Yeti is and where the idea came from?
You bet. So first of all, we get asked all the time, why Yeti? If you come into our office, you'll see that we've got multiple bronze statues of Yetis around the office. And more than anything, it was just something as we did our rebrand close to 8 years ago, thought it'd be fun to have some type of corporate symbol or corporate mascot in our case. And we like the idea of a Yeti. And so one day I was on an airplane and I noticed in the Sky Mall magazine that they made these little bronze Yeti statues. And I just thought that'd be cool to have, to have around our office. And so I ordered one of them in. When it comes to culture, I think one of the most critical pieces of culture is employee recognition. And that comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. But I can tell you one of my favorite things that we started doing very early on is every other week we have a company meeting, and one of the major agenda items, it's a 1 hour meeting, and we typically spend about 15 minutes or so doing company shout outs. And this is a peer-to-peer shout out. And so it gives you an opportunity to just recognize other employees for their contribution. Well, we had been doing these shout outs for a while, but I obviously wanted to do it in the form of a Yeti. And so I grabbed one of those bronze Yetis and went to Home Depot, grabbed some cyan blue spray paint, and went home and spray painted one of those Yetis. And in our very next company meeting, we introduced this concept of the Blue Yeti, which was basically to every company meeting, we would select a top performer and award the Blue Yeti to them. That, started off as just kind of this casual award, and then it started to get a little bit more competitive. And to this day, it remains one of the favorite aspects about the company meeting. People are really excited to see who's going to get the Blue Yeti. And I think more important than the award itself is just, the recognition from the leadership team and being able to recognize some of the top performers. And then one of the other fun components that we do is at the end of the year, the person who has won the Blue Yeti the most times throughout the year, we give them a final end of the year award. We give them, a bunch of bonus flight miles that they can use for flying anywhere in the country, and a few other things. And so it's become just this really fun sort of iconic award. It's fun as you walk around the office to see where the Blue Yeti is. They obviously get to bring that Blue Yeti back to their desk and have it at their desk while we go throughout the week and until we award it to the next person.
Important question. Did you collaborate with designers when you picked that cyan, and does it match the CMYK branding of Avalanche?
It does. It matches. I did not collaborate with a designer, but I went to Home Depot and I told them that we have a very specific blue that we're looking for. Luckily, they just happened to have it in stock. And so we were able to pick that up and use that blue for the Yeti. And so it worked out. We've had to spray paint it. We've had to redo it a few times. I guess I didn't do a very, very good job when I initially painted it. And so we've had to redo it. And by the way, one of the other things that I forgot to mention is that the Blue Yeti has gotten so much traction that we actually, just this last company meeting, we started a new award, which is the Blue Yeti's sister or brother, depending on how you want to look at it, of a White Yeti. And so the White Yeti is basically an employee nominated Yeti. where employees can submit their, their nominations, and then the person that gets the most nominations, we award them sort of the People's Choice Award on the White Yeti. And so there's officially a Blue Yeti and a White Yeti now.
And for everyone's knowledge, Eddie is the Blue Yeti and Betty is the White Yeti. My favorite awarding of the Blue Yeti was actually to Andy. It was kind of employee driven, where we just said, hey, whoever's getting the Blue Yeti, we're actually going to give it to Andy at our company fish fry that we did up at your cabin, Jason. And it totally caught Andy off guard, and he was kind of having a rough patch, and it seemed to really mean a lot to him. And we heard that it did. But I still remember in that moment, we actually went around the entire company. We were probably 25 or 30 employees at that time, and everybody said something they appreciated about Andy. Andy was just super emotional during it, and it was a great moment. And we've had a lot of moments like that with awarding the Blue Yeti.
Yeah, it was awesome. One of my all time favorite moments, watching him and watching, I mean, countless others win the award, and just, you know, the surprised look on their face. And then, you know, we do a follow up social media post with them holding the Blue Yeti, and, you know, just all of that sort of brought into to that experience has been, it's been just awesome. And I just think employee recognition is honestly one of the most important things that you can do. And you talk about culture, and, you know, I'm just, you know, a huge believer that I forget who quoted it, but, you know, to win the marketplace, you need to win the workplace. And I think in order to win the workplace, recognition is a major, major component, you know, of doing that, you know, recognizing people for their effort. And that's, you know, that's what the shout outs as well as the Blue Yeti's been able to do for us.
All right. We are here with Hannah Davis, who is the copywriting team lead and trainer at Avalanche. So Hannah, along with your responsibilities in the copywriting team, you are also the president of Culture Club. Is that right?
I mean, that's not the official title. That's just kind of like what they've called me. Mainly I'm in charge of birthdays and then kind of just like making sure things get done in general.
Maybe tell us about a couple of the charity initiatives that we've done, and why are those important to Avalanche, and why do those continue to happen?
In general, like, it's important to Avalanche, and they've kind of recognized that, you know, since starting the company. When I started Avalanche, you know, like, we'd already had a few charitable initiatives like under our belt. We'd already done a few activities and, you know, had some fundraisers, and we have actually like a wall up in the office that has decals with like logos for every single company that we've helped, or nonprofit or charity. You know, when I started Avalanche, I realized that was a huge pillar of Avalanche's culture. Just in working at Avalanche and also being on culture committee, it's kind of, you know, showed me that the reason is because people want to work for a place that cares about the world. You know, they obviously, people work to make money. That's kind of, you know, the main reason. But I think you get to a certain point where you don't want to just like work for a company that is just turning over profits and you're just getting a paycheck. You want to work for a company where when you're at work, you feel like you're part of something bigger. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, we do charitable initiatives at Avalanche. It's also a chance for everybody to kind of come together. And I don't think everybody always gets a chance to volunteer in their personal lives. And we spend a lot of our time at work. And so if part of that time is spent working for a good cause, or having an actual fundraiser where employees can donate money, having that chance, like during a workday, or, you know, seeing that as part of your job, you know, I think it makes people feel like they're part of something bigger and that they're giving back. And, it, you know, it's an altruistic feeling. Some of my favorite charitable initiatives we've done in the past, definitely the one that comes to mind first, is when we did a Make-A-Wish Foundation. We raised money for a little girl named Remy. She was about 2 at the time. She had cancer, and her wish was to go to Walt Disney World, which is, you know, like the classic Make-A-Wish wish. And so it was so cool to be able to like contribute to that. So yeah, we had like a fundraiser over Christmas and in December. So that was part of our big end of year kind of charity thing. And so we were able to raise enough money, send her to Disney World. And so once everything, you know, fundraised, then we had an actual party in the office. And that was the fun part, like, because we got to actually meet Remy and her family, put on this big, like, Disney-themed party where we actually asked Morgan, she was a copywriter, we asked her to dress up as Belle from Beauty and the Beast. And she did a great job. Like, I think she was really nervous, but, like, she pulled it off great. And when I remember, like, when Remy saw her dressed up as Belle, like, just, like, the look on her face and how happy she was. It was just like so amazing to be part of that and to, you know, realize that you're helping this little girl have like a happy experience and her family as well, because they're all going through, you know, everything at the same time, helping improve their lives. Like that was just so amazing to see. And I think for the entire company, everybody really loved it. And just, it's something that you don't get to experience very often. And so it was really, really cool that we as the culture committee, you know, and Avalanche could just bring that about and like make like a tangible difference in somebody's life.
Anything else you feel like you wanted to mention about Culture Club while we're talking here?
Yeah. So it's not only charitable initiatives. I think another really important part of it for like morale and just like kind of sanity, you know, when it's really busy at work and you're dealing with, you know, challenging client situations, is having like parties to kind of break things up. And in January, we had a Chinese New Year kind of potluck thing, like a lunch thing. We have a coworker named Ting, and she is an SEO specialist, I think is her title. She is from China, like all her family is back in China. And she was really excited about Chinese New Year. She's always been really excited about, you know, like those little holidays, and she'll bring in like traditional snacks and treats and everything to kind of teach us more about her culture. And so we wanted to kind of do something to celebrate Chinese New Year. And she kind of helped us with that and helped us understand, you know, how to decorate and what the traditional food would be that we would eat for that. And so we had the potluck and everybody signed up to bring a Chinese dish. Granted, a lot of it was Panda Express, but it was still really good. And she was really excited about it. Like, I think she, you know, she was happy that we were all learning more about her culture and getting really excited about it and into it. Everybody wore red. Probably one of the best potlucks we've done.
Absolutely. And you can't forget birthday cards.
Oh, of course, birthday cards.
Custom birthday cards for every birthday that are designed by our designers. Mm-hmm. Usually involve photoshopping the birthday person's face onto something.
Yes.
Someone else. Everyone in the company signs the card. There's a lot that goes on in the Culture Club, and Hannah spearheads it all as its president and CEO.
Oh, thank you. President and CEO. Good. Another one. President, CEO, and Queen. Queen is my other album title.
Hey, everybody. We are here with Nicole Jensen, one of the first employees at Avalanche, VP of... What's your title now, Nicole?
On LinkedIn, my official title is VP of Content Marketing, but it could be a lot of other random things. So we'll leave it there for now.
You do so much more than just content marketing at Avalanche. She's a member of our executive team. She has a really successful Instagram account. And that leads us into what we're going to talk about today, which is the health initiatives at Avalanche that she has spearheaded.
Health is a passion of mine for sure. And so when I first started at Avalanche, I mean, we only had a few employees really. And so back about 6 years ago, we would do things every now and then that just involved a little bit of like health and camaraderie. And so one of my first memories of something that we did was we did the mud run. Do you remember that? Did you do that?
With Garrett and Greg?
Yeah. And so we all invited our spouses as well. And so that was fun, just in terms of we all trained for it. And then we had this race that we could do that kind of incorporated all levels. I think it's important when companies have any sort of health initiatives that they keep in mind that everyone's at different levels. And so we never want to discourage anyone or make anyone feel bad about themselves. So I thought that was cool. Some people walked, some people ran. and we all got really dirty in the end. So that was one of the very first things that we did. And then we also, probably around 4 years ago, I put together this, I called it the fitness challenge. And basically it was this 10-week challenge that a lot of the company or a lot of the employees participated in. People would earn points with however much they worked out that week. And then they would also, we would have weekly challenges that focused on different aspects of health. So yeah, that's been a success. We've done that 2 or 3 times.
Not just physical health, it's also mental health, other areas besides just like eat better, exercise.
So my background is like, is directly health science. And I remember learning in my health classes about the health wheel, so to speak. And that incorporates emotional, social, physical, spiritual, and intellectual health. So yes, like all of those play into just helping make our work lives better.
You talked about these challenges, these different health challenges. How did it feel that I beat you in each of the health challenges that we had?
That's actually really funny you say that, Luke, because I'm 100% positive that I won all of them. But I felt like as the organizer, I couldn't technically win. So I always let the second place person win.
Moving on. So you kind of hit on this, the health focus and why it's important in a workplace setting. What benefit do you feel like that brings to employees and businesses?
I actually wrote my college thesis paper on the importance of corporate health and companies having some sort of corporate health program. And there are a lot of studies out there just showing that by companies spending a little bit of time and possibly a little bit of money in having these health programs to help employees just focus on their physical and mental well-being, then in turn, that makes the employees a lot more productive and able to just be more efficient and more mentally focused when they're working, which then in turn helps them just be more profitable. And so, I mean, I think we've all had those days where we're just not mentally there. Or like I know for myself, I feel a lot different when I wake up and do my daily routine.
One of the goals is to make sure to include everybody, no matter where they're at in their fitness or health levels.
Exactly. So like you said, I have an Instagram that I run that is health focused, and I show different workouts and give different nutrition tips. And something that I say a lot on that account is something is better than nothing. Start where you're at and try to improve yourself by doing something.
We are here with Carolyn Alder. Carolyn, you have been involved in a few of our culture initiatives. Do you mind taking a second to introduce yourself, your role at Avalanche, and some of those things you've been a part of?
So I am a copywriter for Avalanche, and I've been here for about a year. And last fall, I thought it would be fun to start a book club. So I started talking to people and asking who would be interested, and it seemed like we actually had quite a few people who wanted to join. So I think one of the reasons that I wanted to start it was, one, I love reading because it makes me a better writer. I love learning because it just makes me a better person and worker. And then coming together and discussing it makes me a better coworker. It helps me get to know who I work with better. And I think book club's just such a great way to learn and improve our skills, but also kind of get to know each other better at Avalanche and learn together.
Tell us more about the books that we've read so far in book club as you've organized that.
So we kind of focus on marketing or like leadership books. And so our first one was Drive by Daniel Pink. And we learned about motivation and what drives people. And then we read Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. And that was really fun because they talk a lot about like actionable marketing theories and tactics that you can use in marketing. And when we discussed that, we were able to really apply things to some of our clients. And then Dare to Lead, we finished just like a month or so ago by Brené Brown. And then right now we are reading Creativity, Inc. by Ed Catmull.
So what do you think people like most about book club?
I think a lot of people, they want to read. You know, they have a big list of books that they want to read and learn from, but it's just hard to get motivated, especially when you're working and you just have so much going on. So for one, book club kind of creates that accountability system because someone, aka me, is constantly checking in on them and saying like, hey, I'm this far into the book. Like, what do you guys think so far? Or here are some questions I have. Let's discuss. It motivates people, I think, to have a group reading it together. And then it also sticks better when we all discuss it and, you know, talk about it along the way rather than just absorbing it and then moving on. I think that can happen a lot with these books because there's so much to learn from them. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I've enjoyed the most is being able to discuss these books with other people and like actually apply them. And then I mentioned this a little bit with Made to Stick, but we were able to kind of talk about some of our clients and the troubles that we were having and apply what we learned from the book to action and like strategize together using what we'd learned. Those are the reasons that I love book club, and I'm sure people would agree.
Thank you, Carolyn, for that, for going into book club and for running a great book club. I have been a part of it. I have been one of the best at starting the books, but not finishing them. But I am trying. And like you said, that framework is helpful. Whenever I see the conversation happening in chat on a Google chat, I think, okay, tonight I got to read more. I got to keep caught up. Let me shift gears and ask you one question about yoga. Along with book club, you've been a regular participant in Yoga with Mary, who is my wife. And we do that once a month here at Avalanche, and it's part of our culture, also part of the health initiatives that we talk about on the podcast. What have you most enjoyed about doing yoga at work?
Yeah, so I think yoga, I'm pretty sure we had it like the first or second week that I started, and I was like, what type of company am I working at? Like, this is amazing that we get a break to take yoga together from an awesome teacher. So I was very excited, and I jumped on that right away. I didn't understand why everyone wasn't there. But I think from yoga, it's just it's a chance to like step away from everything and just be quiet and like kind of catch up on how you're feeling and how your body's doing. And like, sometimes it can be overwhelming because like there was one time in one of the classes that I didn't realize that I was so stressed. And during class, I was like, oh shoot, like there's a lot of stress under here that I'm not dealing with. So I think it's good just to kind of check in with everything and your mental state and your body, and also just like get moving during the day. We do it in the middle of the day, so it really breaks it up. You know, like we're sitting for a long time, and so having the chance to get up and do some poses, and obviously like yoga can be vulnerable sometimes, and so being vulnerable with coworkers is amazing. I love yoga, and whenever it happens, I always tell all my coworkers to join.
All right, we are here with Chris Vaughn, one of our SEO team members on the Avalanche team. Chris, tell us a little bit about what you do at Avalanche.
So I work on the SEO team as a senior SEO manager. So I get to do basically a little bit of everything, which keeps things interesting for me. I really enjoy it.
And part of those things that you do is you are actually involved in Lunch and Learn. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Lunch and Learn is kind of an extracurricular activity for me. So I get to dabble with teaching and leading and some of those other things to help expand skill sets on other members of other teams. Lunch and Learn has evolved a little bit in the time since I've started at Avalanche. It is primarily a way for people to get education or training, perhaps outside of what they already specialize in. Lunch and Learn takes place every other Friday, so we have about 30 of them in a given year, 25 or 30 of them, depending. And we cover basically everything. We've done social media, we've done SEO. The one that we had for this week was on cybersecurity, and it really is just an awesome platform to help cross-train people in other categories of digital marketing.
What have been your favorite topics or some of the most popular topics that we've covered?
That is a good question. Some of my personal favorites have been ones where we talk about things that influencers or other presenters have talked about. So I remember one that Max did on a Google presentation where they were talking about ways to optimize SEO value on a website. I really loved that particular one. I like all of them, honestly. I'm the type of person who needs a little bit of everything. and so when you get some of that variety, that helps quite a lot. We also recently had a really good one with Jules, who talked about how social media fits with an integrated marketing strategy, which I think was really awesome because a lot of people still kind of see social media as kind of like an add-on or just an extra thing you do to like promote or advertise. But it really is a lot more than just that, and Jules did a really awesome job of showcasing that. So there's something to take away from all of them. We even did a culture one talking about China because, you know, we have one of the members of the SEO team is from China. Her name's Ting, and she's awesome. And you know, we got to learn more about China, which was really, really cool. So it really is just a platform for us to learn what people are interested in and help us grow outside of whatever role we might be sitting in.
So who presents then? It sounds like we had mostly avalanchers. Is that right?
Yeah, we do primarily get the bulk of our presenters from other avalanchers, but we do also have guest speakers as well. So for example, our cybersecurity lunch and learn that we had this week was from a sibling of an avalancher. So we will have guests come and present on different topics. And I think that's really important because I think it would be arrogant of us to think that, you know, between everybody in the building, we know everything we need to know. So to bring in outside talent to kind of talk to us about their experiences or their perspectives has been really awesome as well. So we do majority of avalanchers and we kind of nominate amongst ourselves who we would like to teach about different topics. But when we have special occasions like we did this week, it is awesome to feature guest speakers as well.
You've done a great job at it too. I think our attendance is the best it's ever been.
Well, thank you.
So well done. Lunch and Learn actually fits into the larger Launch People initiative, which we'll be talking about on the podcast. So can you tell us a little more about how it fits into the bigger Launch People initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lunch and Learn is one element of the whole Launch People initiative that Avalanche has. There's a lot of stuff still in the works from my understanding, and I don't see all of it. But Culture Club, for example, works on Launch People initiatives, as does Lunch and Learn. And it's part of kind of a greater platform of things that we offer to employees as a value add, as an employee at Avalanche, because we want people to have the opportunity to learn, grow, and feel like they have the opportunity to deepen their understanding of digital marketing on the whole. So it kind of fits in with the whole platform of things that we offer for people, whether it's Culture Club or other events or, you know, things like the book club or yoga, or kind of these other things that we use to enable people to develop themselves. It's part of that greater platform of, you know, the more that you participate, the more you can get out of it as a digital marketing professional.
All right, we are here with Andy Melchior. He is one of the founders and is, what's your title now, dude? You wear so many hats.
I've worn so many over the years. Yeah, right now I'm the COO for Avalanche and mostly oversee, you know, our operations.
And that's the reason I wanted to have you on this is because you work a lot with the people, and Avalanche is a people company. We wouldn't be what we are without our people. And you help make the culture what it is from the, you know, starting from the top, starting from when Avalanche was first began. So first question for you is, how would you describe the Avalanche culture?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It's hard for me to try to summarize it in a brief response. And it's also interesting to reflect on it because it's evolved and adapted over the years so much. You know, you pointed out that I think culture in so many companies, it's created at the top and it's sent down through the ranks. And that's how the culture was established at Avalanche initially. But with the development of our culture club in the last 4 or 5 years, the culture has really been something that's kind of been created amongst the people. And as leadership, we just kind of, I guess, point the arrows in the right direction, right? We say, this is the kind of company we're establishing. This is the basis that we have for essentially turning the reins over to our people to set and drive culture. So it's interesting to see how it has evolved over the years as people come and go. But if I was to just take a short stab at establishing a description of what the culture of Avalanche is, I would say that it's a culture, a close-knit community that has a tremendous amount of authenticity among its people, that has a lot of transparency among its people, and it's just a really supportive environment. There's so many people that are willing to go above and beyond to help their colleagues. And I think the culture of Avalanche is again, always evolving.
Why do you think a good culture is important for a company like ours, for an agency?
Yeah, well, I think culture is so critical for really any business. You know, as I've interviewed people over the years, I think more and more now than ever before, I get questions from candidates that are all cultural centric, right? Tell me about the culture of Avalanche. How do you handle a situation where an employee is not performing? What do you do to recognize your staff? How do you reward people both financially and non-financially? How do you, manage training and development, which all of those categories become an aspect of the culture. And so over the last, I think, 5 to 10 years, there's been a dramatic shift in, the professional environment here in America and in Utah as well, in the sense of culture has become one of those, real critical aspects for people as they're making their career decisions. And there are lots of factors that go into where you work. Compensation is a critical aspect. Who you're working with is a critical aspect. But then the culture and expectations has become so much more important. I've seen so many candidates that put that first and foremost in their decisions. And a lot of our staff at Avalanche have expressed that as well, like that one of the primary reasons they continue to stay at Avalanche, or that they feel so fulfilled at Avalanche, is because of the culture, because of the people, because of the environment that we've created for our staff. And that's something that's so much more fulfilling than financial reward for so many people. And so, I think for a small, business is what Avalanche is, right? Even though we're a mid-size agency, for us to really attract great candidates, really talented digital marketers, we're trying to provide some of those considerations for our people, so that we're attractive as a career path and as a long-term position for our people. We can't always win against brands when it comes to, financial reward or cost of benefits or, some of the other maybe flashy things that the big brands can provide. But what we can try to win at in many cases is that cultural aspect of the workplace.
If someone were to want to create a culture like we have, and I would describe it as more focus on a hard culture versus soft culture, hard being trust, good communication, caring for people, transparency versus soft, which is more ping pong tables and amenities and food and whatnot. What advice would you give to a company trying to create that more?
It's interesting because I often ask a question similar to that in interviews. I'll ask candidates, hey, if you were to start your own company, what are the two or three or four critical aspects of the culture that you would try to instill in that brand as you grow it? And when we established Avalanche Media, we spent time collectively as ownership trying to align our vision around culture and what we're trying to create at Avalanche that will set us apart and make us unique. And so I think as you're establishing a business, it's really important that as founders or owners or the executive team, you establish a vision for what your culture will be. You then talk about that consistently. You remind your staff about that consistently. And you set that tone, not in just your words, but in your actions. And then you allow your people to really, let that resonate with them and to give them the same power and authority to really represent that culture. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of brands say, this is our culture, this is what we do. But then their leadership doesn't give the same ability or authority to the rest of the staff to have that same culture, you know, or they don't set the appropriate example. I just really think it starts with that, as you establish and try to drive culture within a company. And that's, you know, constantly making your decisions based off of that, going back to it and saying, hey, you know, how can I better represent the values or culture of the brand, and make sure that is connected with our people. You know, one of the things we try to do consistently at Avalanche is train on our corporate values consistently. And so, you know, during our company meetings, through our lunch and learns, we'll oftentimes say, hey, we're going to talk about these two or three corporate values as part of our training.
Well, you have a nickname here, Andy, that I think you just described why you have that nickname. You're often called the people's owner. And the idea behind that is people seem to connect with you and feel like they have a relationship there. And so my question on that is, how does that happen for you? Do you have to try? Do you try to be the people's owner, or do you feel like that just comes naturally? How do you kind of create those relationships with the employees?
Yeah, you know, the people's owner is a nickname that was given to me by an employee named Brittany. And she gave me that name because of the connection that her and I had made, authentic connection that we had built trust over the years and confidence over the years, that she could have any conversation with me that was needed, right? And I think that's probably why I've been dubbed the people's boss here at Avalanche, is just that I've really tried, I've put a lot of effort to answer that question, Luke. It's not something that is just a natural thing per se. It's something that several years ago I made a commitment to, and that was to really open up myself to all of our staff, to not necessarily always be the professional businessman, but to really open up myself to them, to share my hobbies, interests, passions, thoughts with them consistently, and to allow them a level of comfort to do the same back to me. So it is an effort, and it also takes time. You know, one of the things that I tell our staff over and over and over again is, my door is always open. You can always come talk to me, whether it's to vent about some frustration you're dealing with, whether it's, you know, a colleague, something at home, something with a client, you know, a project, whatever it is, or whether it's to come in and offer advice, direction, and opinion on how we can improve as a company or whatever it is. And so there's a lot of times where, you know, I'm in the thick of something, but I really have to make an effort when somebody walks in and says, do you have a minute, to say, yeah, I do. You know, like, let me give you that time. Let's talk. The other thing that I try to do is build in time to just sit with our staff. You know, I'll try to leave my office, bring my computer with me, and go just, you know, sit in a sofa or one of our lounge chairs out in the open area of the office and just work out there for several hours, so I can be involved in some of the communication and office conversations that are happening. I think that, you know, that again, that authenticity is just a critical part of that. And it is something that's taken focus for me to accomplish, I think.
All right, we are here with Dave Mink, CEO and one of the founders of Avalanche. And in December, you put a name to a lot of the things that were happening in the Avalanche culture, and you started the Launch People initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about the vision of Launch People and where that came from?
Towards the end of last year, probably the beginning of Q4, Bo Graves, who's on our executive team, had sent me a recommendation to listen to a podcast where Simon Sinek was the guest, and he was talking about his new book, The Infinite Game. I got exposed to this concept of Simon's The Infinite Game via this podcast, and it just really, it was one of those moments where it just kind of brought a lot of things together for me. It wasn't necessarily that it was a new concept, but it was just kind of like framing it up in a way that I probably hadn't put all the pieces together. We'd always been a people-focused organization. We had always worried about what's the culture of our organization, you know, what are we doing to engage people, et cetera. But thinking of the business less in terms of how much money are we going to make this year? What goals are we setting this quarter? And did we accomplish our goals? But thinking of it more as an infinite game that really doesn't end. And what are you doing to, I guess, align your organization with people long term, was just this concept that, again, brought a lot of things together for me. So that podcast just kicked off a series of conversations with you, my partners, Andy, Jason, Matt, and just the rest of the leadership team at Avalanche. And through those conversations, we ended up leaving with this concept of, we had always had our company tagline was to launch the best brands on earth. We were always focused on how do we called it playing in the big leagues, but like, how do we work with the best companies that are out there? The most vibrant people, best causes, most successful kind of organization structures, et cetera. And what we just sort of had this epiphany that the way you really do that is by having the best people in your organization. And so we ended up making this nuanced change to our company purpose statement, where it went from launch the best brands on earth to launch people, launch brands. And again, it was just kind of that epiphany of the best way to launch the brands is by attracting, cultivating, and retaining the best people that you possibly can.
What makes up the different parts of the Launch People initiative?
Well, the fun part is we're right in the middle of it. So it's definitely not something that's fully baked. I think one of the first things we've really been focused on is how do we actually take all of these awesome pieces of our culture that we already had there and almost just rebrand them. So we've always done things like book clubs, fitness challenges and opportunities. We have a massage therapist come to the office twice a month. We do a lot of company parties and take people out to lunch quite often, and all those little things, have guest speakers come in, et cetera. But now, instead of just doing them and having a great time, we're really mindful of, does this activity that we're focused on, does it help launch people? Are we branding it launch people? And just, I think, growing up in those senses. So it's more coordinated now. One of the observations we had is that it seemed like some of our employees really bought in and were involved in like our more of our culture oriented activities, whether they were charity focused activities or whatever. And other people almost seemed to like not even know what was going on. I guess we had we didn't do a great job of shouting it from the rooftops in terms of, this is everything we're doing this month and here's how you can get involved. We've rebranded everything. We now have a company newsletter that's going out monthly. Inside that newsletter, every single opportunity that's available to employees is there. A lot more training with leadership. How do you get your team involved and getting everything they can in terms of the organization's, all the different opportunities the organization provides, even things like education budgets. We've always had education budgets at Avalanche. They haven't always been fully utilized. And so we're just really being more mindful about, guys, the very best way to launch the best brands on earth is by launching people. And how do you launch people? Well, it's their physical happiness. It's their mental happiness. It's their, involvement in the community. It's their own professional education. It's the certifications they're earning, things of that nature. And so it's just kind of turning the lights on of, accomplish that ultimate goal of launching the best brands on earth. We've got to help our people realize their full potential and capacity, and work, and the opportunities that they're at work can be a big part in that. And so we're just trying to provide more of those and make them readily accessible and easy to get involved with and participate in.
If you could have an ideal outcome, people utilizing Launch People initiative and all the different aspects, what would that look like?
I actually think that the Launch People focus that we rolled out, January 1st, has had a huge impact in terms of the cohesiveness of our company in quarantine. It's been kind of incredible for me to watch just the way that people are still bonded and involved. There's a real engagement even in this scenario where everybody's working from home and we're not seeing each other and giving each other physical high fives, we're not getting together to go work in a garden together for a charity initiative, we're not getting together to do potlucks, but through all the different Launch People initiatives we have with like Friday Lunch and Learns, we've got fitness classes going 3 or 4 times every week. We have midday stretches. We've got, you know, book clubs. We've got yoga sessions. There are just so many things that are happening, and the team is doing these together. Andy, my business partner, you know, he came up with this idea of let's do an afternoon happy hour. And I'm always surprised to see how many people show up to those just to spend a few minutes congratulating each other, et cetera. So back to your question, Luke, I think what I would hope Launch People would do for our employee base, it's like you said, it's happiness, it's fulfillment, and I think it's engagement. And from more of a traditional business perspective, what I think that that will translate to in the long run is going to be, you know, higher profitability, longer engagements, longer kind of stickiness or retention with our client base, as well as our employee base. Because when people hire an agency, they're really hiring people. And if you have the best, happiest, you know, most fulfilled, engaged people working for your agency, then I think that that's what they're going to experience when they hire the agency.
All right, we are here with Kyle Schertz, who is our VP of Performance Marketing. You have somewhat of a subculture within the Avalanche culture on the PPC team, which you have you manage and you've grown. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you think makes the PPC culture on your team unique?
Yeah, you know, I think it was Tashi who said there's like the circle of trust, right? And which layers everybody's on outside of PPC. And it's interesting. I think really the way that we've just built the culture has been unique in the sense of it's been a lot of networking and then interns. And just being able to grow our pool of talent that way has been effective. Understanding how people work, understanding kind of what they're like even outside of the office. And it's been a really, really cool thing to see, you know, my team come together like a family. We get together on weekends. We really enjoy one another's company. And I think there's a lot to that, to the way we've built the team.
What kind of goes on in your mind when you're in those moments? Is it a burden to do those things? Do you enjoy it? What kind of goes through your mind when you think about getting together with the team?
Yeah, it's funny. It's not a burden. It's almost like a, man, I really want to be around these people. They're just fun to be around. There's a lot of camaraderie. And so it's more like asking friends to hang out versus, oh, I've got to be around my colleagues, or, oh, I'm doing this to build the team up. It just feels very natural and kind of fluid that way. So we've been fortunate. You know, one of the perks of working for a small business is that familial kind of tie that you feel.
Tell us about maybe some of the experiences as a team that you feel like has been most impactful.
Some of the big impact things would be just simple things, you know, our team activities that we do. We're one of, sometimes people say, oh, we haven't had a team activity for a long time. We always try and plan a team activity, get together. You know, we've done Top Golf. We've done just going to a park with some takeout and playing cornhole. There are a lot of commonalities amongst the team of hobbies and things that we enjoy. So that's made it easy in that regard. But we have tried to really emphasize having team activities and enjoying each other's company outside of environment.
How do you feel like those team activities then transfer to working together and even kind of the culture that you create on the team?
I would say the biggest thing that I see is everybody is so willing to help one another. And it's not because, oh, yeah, I work with this person. It's you genuinely care about this person. You know their wife's name. You know their husband's name. You know how many kids they have. And when you know all those things and you get along outside of the office, it makes it that much more important to help each other when they're down or having a bad day. Something that I've really loved doing with a team is if I can tell people are having a hard time or just going through some hard spells, just going around the room and like saying what you like about a person. You know, similar to the Avalanche culture of shout outs, we do it on our team and team meetings where we'll literally go around and say a nice thing about each person in the room. And that's really helped build up the camaraderie and the willingness to help one another.
All right, we are here with Brittany Bromley-Nuring, a friend of mine, a former coworker at Avalanche and the current VP of marketing. Is that right? At Crumble, Brittany?
Yes, that's right. Hello, hello. It's always good to chat with you and talk Avalanche. It's such a great place. I love my time there.
Well, we loved your time there too. And that's actually why we wanted to have you on the podcast. You created a big piece of the Avalanche culture while you were here. And you contributed in many, many ways. So could maybe we start with you describing the Avalanche culture while you had your time at Avalanche?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. What a fun question. I would say when I think back on Avalanche culture, a word that comes to mind for me is hustlers. Like, I just feel like right out the gate when I got there, it was like I was surrounded by people who just so loved what they did, you know, just came in to work hard every day. Like, there were just so many hard workers in that office. And I'm sure it's still the same now. I haven't been there in several months, but like, I loved that. I loved that people had the same value for quality work that I do at Avalanche. So that's, I would say that's the biggest thing for me that comes to mind.
Something that you did with the culture is you actually changed it for the better. And you had some hard conversations on topics that sometimes people don't want to go near, on equality, gender pay equality. On more than that, you were really an advocate for a lot of people at the company. So tell us kind of the thought behind that. And if someone feels that culture can be improved, how can they go about that?
Yeah, I love you brought that up. I would say, Luke, that, you know, I was really blessed to be at Avalanche where it already had a culture where I felt like I could say what I was feeling. You know what I mean? And that is something that starts from the top, from the people at the very top. And when I did maybe see some blind spots, I think is what I tried to refer to them as, just areas where maybe the culture could be and really the company could be improved. I already knew that if I went in and kind of shared thoughts in the right way, that they would be heard. I think that that's an important call out there too, is that if you're wanting employees to be involved in your culture, then you need to have a management team that is fully ready to embrace what ideas or, you know, thoughts come from people regarding culture and the business.
You always were a light at Avalanche, except for one day when you defaced my office and covered everything. Actually, I could not see any of my workspace, which caused major productivity declines. You remember that moment and what I'm talking about?
Of course I remember that moment. That's one of, I mean, heaven forbid I'm proud of any work that I did at Avalanche. That's probably my one shining achievement, was when I covered your entire office, your mat, your mouse pad, everything in Christmas wrapping paper. It took me 5 hours.
It was amazing. It was one of many things that you did to contribute to the culture, make it fun, and make it an enjoyable place. So
one last thought, as you brought up that story exactly, like reflecting on all of this in the culture at Avalanche, I would say that the culture is so powerful there because people could come as they were. You know what I mean? Like, we had people, you know, every day at 4 o'clock when Jason Passy would turn on, you know, closing time and just be, you know, the biggest dork ever. And people like feeling like they could be them. And I could come in for 5 hours on a Sunday and know that like my goofy effort would be well received by you. And do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that when we're talking about culture being people, it's like people need to feel like they can be themselves. And I think that's when like culture is so rich and great, is when in its purest form, you know, the people are in their purest form, you know?
Yeah.
Talk about the things that they love and that bring them joy. People can come, their families can come in and visit them at work. It's not weird if someone takes half a day off to go dirt biking. Like, that's really important. And I think that's something that we talked a lot about at Avalanche, is the other things, you know, the fact that Bo loves all of his race cars and, you know, his after 5 PM like antics, and Garrett with his stakes, like, you know, when you know about people and the things that they love and can like bring those and braid those into the workforce in appropriate times, like that just gives everything more like life, you know?
I'll close out today's episode by mentioning a personal story when Avalanche Culture did me well. I was having a hard time with a client. It was a personal friend that I was working with, and things weren't going as planned. I felt like I was letting her down, my coworkers down, the Avalanche owners down, pretty much everyone for a several week period. I walked into my office one morning in early December of last year, and I found a bunch of Yetigrams. Now, Yetigrams are just little notes where people write nice thoughts and show appreciation. And that morning, there were about 30 notes on my desk, and I went through them each, read them all, and truly appreciated what people were saying. And it kind of took me out of my funk, and it meant a lot to me. So to me, Avalanche Culture summed up is that experience and the people behind it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to The Launch Party, an Avalanche Media podcast. If you would like a complimentary audit for your SEO, paid media, or social strategies, shoot us an email at podcast@avalanchemedia.com. And if you like the show, please subscribe, give us a rating, and a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks.